people in the broadcasting business probably know who you are and what the New Radio Group is. But for those who aren't, could you maybe give us a little background about what you're doing now and what your new company's about?
I see if I can do the elevator pitch. But actually, it's in a nutshell, it's to provide great local radio. And while that sounds simple, it's probably one of the more challenging aspects of our business right now, and that's to be to excel at what I think our purpose is, that I think as an industry we've sort of lost sight of, again, my opinion. But and I got back into the business, which I said I wouldn't, but I did, with the opportunity to be able to go into mid and small size markets, and to put together groups with the knowledge that we had learned as a result of consolidation, and put together groups in markets that were not in the shadow of major metropolitan areas, but were sort of centered around retail, thriving retail areas in the Midwest, and to try and balance the mix of stations between small market and mid-size market, with the idea being that we could take and realign resources in a model that would work in the 21st century, and to free people up for those things that only they can do well, and to take away from them sort of the things that they'd always done because they'd been in this rut for the last 25 years and had gotten stale and had not had an original thought and had not tried to provide what I think is the key to the success or failure of our business, and that is relevancy. And so we did it with the understanding that we'd go in, we'd spend the first couple of years trying to do acquisitions, the second 2 to 3 years in trying to be able to put systems in place to be able to then turn around and to provide a platform that operationally was efficient but also had the ability and the resources to be able to do things to continue to be relevant to our audience, our advertisers, our communities, and our employees in going forward. That's really kind of what we're trying to do.
Well, that would have been a little long elevator ride, but...
Yeah, well...
No, I'm kidding. That's exactly what I was looking for. You have, 100 radio stations now?
80...
Oh, okay.
89. Well, after today, maybe 90, 91.
Ooh, breaking news. You've anticipated a couple of my questions that I want to come back to in a second, but I'd like to ask you a couple of, I guess, semi-personal questions. Do you have satellite radio in your vehicles?
I don't. Now, Chuck does, our COO, and he got it specifically to listen to sports. I listened to it. When they first came out, I had one for a while on sort of a loan basis and found that, and I will tell you, honestly, the reason I went was to try and get CNBC Squawk Box, and that was the point. And, you know, the interesting thing about it was it was interesting for the first couple of days, and I never took the time nor had the interest to get into it farther. And so, and I asked Chuck about this. I said, you've got it in your car. Do you use it? And he says, yeah, I use it for sports that I can't get anyplace else, and that's it.
Do you think it's going to be any kind of a factor for broadcasters?
Well, you know, here's what I think. I think that it is, I try and parallel it to, do you remember, well, of course you do, as the technology changed, we went from 45s to 8-track tapes to, there was DAT in between there, and then we went to CD, and now everything's on hard drive. Well, for some of us, we skipped technology. I know when I bought my first radio station, we were still playing 8-tracks and 45s, and we never did go to the DAT technology. We just went to CD. Well, I kind of think, to some degree, satellite radio plays that role. It's kind of like cable radio. It's there. It provides some entertainment and information that maybe you use. But is it compelling enough, and is it unique enough, and is it relevant enough that it will scale up to get in the way of traditional or broadcast radio. I don't think so, but I think it's one of those other little sort of bites that, you know, while you're not taking an arm off with a bite, you might be taking a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and pretty soon the arm might fall off anyway if you get enough of these other sources out there. So I think it has an impact. Do I think it'll be the death knell for radio? No. What I'm hoping is that it's the wake-up call.
In a 2003 interview in Radio Inc. magazine, you talked about taking your little Rio digital MP3 player to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about this iPod phenomenon, and what impact, if any, do you think it has for broadcasters?
I'm not sure yet that the iPod is anything more than just kind of a sort of, and I hesitate to use the word, a fad. I think the concept of being able to download, whether it's MP3 or iPod or, you know, EIEIO, it doesn't matter, is more the issue. And I think that it, in some ways, is taking the place of burning CDs and throwing them in your CD player in your vehicle. It's just, you know, or doing cassettes. It's just I don't think that changes a whole lot. What I do think, though, that is kind of exciting, and again, I know not even enough to be dangerous about all of this. What I do think is kind of exciting is it's giving us a window, from a broadcaster's perspective, to be able to look into the minds of the user, and to be able to get some information that heretofore we weren't able to maybe access as well, and that is, if you pay attention, what are people doing? What are they going for? Well, maybe they're going out and trying to catch a morning show, you know, Bob and Tom, that they didn't get a chance to see or whatever. Or maybe there's an opportunity to be able to reestablish a relationship with your audience in a way that you haven't been in the past 4 or 5 years, because we've gotten too homogenized, and that is to be able to have your favorite radio station be able to provide you with what you need as an alternative media stream by going to their website and downloading, you know, the top 10 hits or Allgarth or whatever. I think from that aspect of it, it's another way to be able to make a connection. But is it what everybody's going to be doing? I don't think so. I mean, I'm one of these geeks that love all this kind of stuff and think it's wonderful, but then you look at reality and see how people actually use stuff, and let's face it, people are busy, and while it's really cool and it's really neat, sometimes it's more work than it's worth, and people settle and say, well, you know, I have a radio station, it's not perfect, but it's a whole lot easier than trying to do X, Y, Z. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I gather none of your stations have sort of waded into that pool quite yet.
We're looking at it, obviously, right now, and trying to provide that link to our audience, our listener, in a much more personal level. I get excited about it because, do you remember years ago when we were doing the databases with a listener card or whatever?
Oh, yeah, you were into that early and very aggressively.
And I love that stuff because it gives you a chance to be able to differentiate and to make a connection. And to me, the reason that I'm in this business is because you have the ability to make a connection with people. And that, to me, is exciting because it then becomes something more than commodity or whatever. And and once that happens, the whole model changes in terms of how people use it, how they buy and sell it, what it means in their lives, and all that kind of stuff. I love that part about it. I think this gives us an opportunity to sort of re-energize the business by being able to, again, look at how we make those connections with our audience.
Establishing that connection is, and having that conversation, that two-way thing with a listener, does that mean that you've got to have a real live human body there at the radio station?
I don't think so. I won't say yes and I won't say no. I think the more important question is what do you need to do to be able to give that individual the what they're seeking? You know, today, if you would have said 20 years ago that we would be comfortable with calling places and using a digital delivery system for trying to get information, whether it's calling for a bank deposit or to find out, you know, what your credit limit is, or, you know, if an order's come in, any of that kind of stuff, which you never go to a bank teller. Oh, my God, people would have thought it would have been the world's worst. Well, today, how we measure relationships, in my opinion, has changed. I have a warm, I can have a quote-unquote warm relationship with a institution and never talk to them physically if they do the electronic or the internet or whatever my way to touch with them is done in a manner that is driven for my needs. It's changed. It doesn't always have to mean live. It doesn't always have to mean, you know, real time. Because let's face it, as a society, real time anymore, we're time shifting all the time. I mean, I'm sending emails and I'm doing business at 10 o'clock at night that I couldn't have done before on a real time basis, and I'm more efficient, and I'm okay with that. So, no, do we have to be live 24/7? Do we all, in some situations, absolutely. In others, maybe not. I mean, I still, here's a crazy one for you. I'm toying with the idea of trying to figure out how to do a virtual radio station from a sales platform.
From a sales platform? Mm-hmm. Can you expand on that without me signing a non-disclosure?
Well, I mean, I think there might be a niche someplace, and I could be just crazy as a loon. But if you think about our business, the broadcast business, and from an advertiser standpoint, unfortunately, to a certain degree, some of what we do now is viewed as a commodity. You know, you want 30 seconds, you want to do it there, blah 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 blah, and so. And also trying to find a way to be able to maximize the contact with advertisers is a challenge, and particularly in certain markets, some small markets where it's hard to get salespeople or get enough salespeople to be able to provide the kind of service you want to all the advertisers and all that.
Okay.
I'm thinking if you had a certain element where I could push with permission, I could push information to a potential advertiser so they could access it when they're comfortable with it, give them what they need, give them the opportunity to be able to select, and then know that they always had me as a resource, a live body, a help desk, if you will. Maybe there's an opportunity for us to better serve our advertiser that way.
So I can go to your website and buy 30, 60s,
right,
whatever.
Or if you tell me that you have an interest in my radio station and want to know specials that I do, you give me permission to push that to you via your email.
Bring me this information, but only this
right.
information. You know, I mean, how many of us don't use Amazon? We love it. The Amazon people have figured this thing out.
Yep.
I mean, you've got a one-click purchase.
Yep.
If you could make buying radio time,
yep,
whatever that means.
Well, now, again, it's not all radio time, and it's not all time and all that. Don't get me wrong. That isn't even in the model, because there is a component on this that is the market analysis and all that. I'm talking strictly on commodity kinds of things where you've got somebody
sure.
who's already drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and it just makes it that much
right.
easier for him to take another drink.
Right.
Gosh, that's such a simple idea. Is anybody doing that anywhere?
I don't know.
I mean,
it's not on my to-do list.
Wow, that's a great idea. You have been neck deep in the whole consolidation thing for a long time now. I mean, you've had, with the rest of us, a chance to look back at that. Any thoughts on whether it has been a good thing? Has it been a good thing or a bad thing for owners? Has it been a good thing or a bad thing for listeners? Do you have any sort of thoughts on that?
I think the answer is it's been a good thing and a bad thing for listeners, owners, and employees. I think it is. One of the things that I got in the business of radio for was that it was never boring. It was, I could count on one thing, and that is I would not have 2 days the same. And as much as I would tell you that I think consolidation has helped make our product a homogenous muck of boring stuff that we deserve to have to get the crap beat out of us. The other part of me says it has taken us from mom and pops to a real business, and that probably has saved us in some ways. And it, for the listeners, it's probably given, well, some things, you know, some people have done it right, others have done it wrong. Do I have a consensus on it? I don't think so. I think it is. I mean, I think it's the evolution, and one of the things that I think is the most exciting about it is that it challenges those that are in it to remain interested in it, or they will fall through the cracks and go away. And so I think as long as we can continue to get sort of rebels or people who are not content, that always want to push the envelope to stay in this business because it does change, there's some hope for us. If all we have is bankers, and I don't mean that derogatorily, but, you know, that just want to have debit, credit, do things the way they always have, we're done. We're over. And it's just a matter of time.
Now, you've been extremely successful. You continue to be successful at this. But from a very personal standpoint, if you were starting out today, where would your interests lie? I mean, would you be in radio? Would you be, I mean, have you ever thought about that?
Well, you know, after the shot I had in radio, after I got out of it, I went into, I said, that's it, I'm done with it. And I did some internet stuff, which
this
I love.
Polycast.com.
Yeah, yeah.
You were way early.
Oh, man, were we out there. And, you know, and went down in a not a blaze of glory, but, you know, a pile of ashes. But what a ride. It was so much fun. Today, if I did it, there's a part of me that says if I started out and I had a radio station, I would probably go back into radio, but I would do it very differently in that I'm kicking myself right now because a couple of years ago, I'm thinking, you know, we're just running way too many commercials all over the place. Why don't we go out and be a radio station that does, you know, that makes a point of being 9 units an hour or whatever, you know, or just, you know, when you get the instincts out there and you don't do something about it because you're hung up in something else, you know, I kicked myself for that. But
well, 15 years ago, you called me into your office to talk about that very thing.
Yeah.
I mean, way back.
Well, but today, if I had the chance, I'd start with radio because it gives you the entree into it. But I would tell you this, I would have a much, much deeper, broader presence on the internet and be doing a lot of push marketing and a lot of stuff through that it would be a radio station because you have the license, but it would look a whole lot more like an internet radio station. That the only reason I'm still in traditional radio is because I'm tethered. You know, I think wireless internet is going to be just what a hoot, and I think it's going to, that's where I think radio is going. I mean, because it's just another delivery system, but it gives us a chance to be creative and to do some really cool things. Now, I don't know. I haven't thought far enough on the business model yet and how that works, but my instincts tell me that I don't think we're going to want to pay long-term, and I think the general public isn't going to want to pay long-term to be able to have the privilege of wireless internet. I think we like the model of sort of more or less free over the air. And it might be some combination, I just don't know.
Well, I can't imagine when you would find time to spend much time online, and yet listening to you, you're obviously very plugged in.
I love the internet.
To all of this. Do you find yourself, do you have time to frequent any blogs?
You know, I don't get much time. I mean, I get out to once in a while some of these when one of the guys tells me that they're talking about us doing something here or there, but not to the point that I'd love to. I'd love to spend a lot more time with it, and because the whole concept, the whole psychology, the whole thing is just a hoot for me. I mean, I don't know how many times I've said, you know, you want to know an answer to. I'll tell you, here's a perfect case in point. You know the song, this frog song that was big over in Europe for cell phone rings?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can hear it in my sleep.
Right. I'm like, oh, my God, that is just the coolest thing. And so this morning I've been thinking, for the last couple of days, I'm thinking, you know, I kind of think I know what it is, but I want to hear it and all this. So, you know, you go to Google, you drop it in, there it is. I love this. I mean, oh, my God, the ability to have instantaneous information on a global level is just, it's just a rush. It's so cool.
Now, a couple of months ago, or however long it's been, you were at the NAB in Las Vegas, and all of the other big group owners, you guys were all smoking cigars in some secret back room. Mm-hmm. Now, what were all those grown-ups talking about? I have a hard time believing that they're in the same space mentally that you are.
They may or may not be.
If they are, they're
not talking about it. Right now, the industry, and here's my big question, what's a license? You know, what happens when our license doesn't mean anything? That's my question. I keep asking all the grown-ups.
Are you sure it still means something?
Right now we're still buying and selling based on the fact that you have a barrier to entry. What happens when the internet's wireless to the point where you don't need that?
When they roll out WiMAX, they're talking about instead of a 300-foot Wi-Fi signal, you've got a 30-mile, 70 megabit per second.
Yep.
I mean,
which to me could be the best thing in the world for radio. But having said that, they're talking about legislation. They're talking about and coming to grips with the fact that the political climate has shifted and nobody cares about over-the-air radio or television and on Capitol Hill, and all we're seeing is a bunch of whiners.
So this is something they're still trying to lobby their way out of or into.
And you know, we're sitting around talking about this kind of stuff when the world is screaming by us.
By your commercials? Or
no, it's screaming by our industry.
Ah.
You know, we have to... Sometimes I feel like as an industry we're a bunch of buggy whip sales or manufacturers. You know, and one of the big concerns that I have is that I do stick out. I mean, I look at this stuff and go, you know, guys, I get that. But the reality of it is, what are we going to do about it? You know, how are we going to be relevant tomorrow? The rest of it, to me, as long as you're relevant and people think that there's a reason for you to exist, you'll be okay. But, you know, this is not like any, you know, banking's the same way. You know, like
I think relevance is exactly the right word. Every time I see a young person on the street, and by young person I mean like a teenager, mm-hmm. I go up and they kind of, you know, cringe back. Why is this old guy coming up to me? And I say, you know, I just want to ask you a question. What radio station do you listen to? And, you know, they'll say, you know, Morpheus or whatever, or some download, some peer-to-peer download thing. I just, you know, I'm having a hard time finding them, anybody, any person that age who says, oh, I listen to this radio station. Have you had that experience?
I don't think universally I get that they're getting it offline to the same degree. I think there's some of it that people are like, they give you that look like, oh, what do you mean? Or some of them will say, oh, I don't know, 107, whatever.
So the next generation of radio listeners you feel is out there?
I think, here's what I think, is I, and again, I think we get hung up again in the terminology. I don't think that the young people today are any different than you or I when we were young and had, you know, music is a very important part of our life because it speaks to us, it tells us what we should think, how we should feel, or it relates to us, all those kinds of things that we built a relationship around music, and today you can hear a song you heard when you were a sophomore in high school and know and have a relationship with it that, you know, is real and is right there. I don't think that has changed. I still think that's important. What I do believe is that as an industry, we have to start paying attention to how you deliver that kind of relevancy to these people. And if they don't give a shit whether it's radio, iPod, wireless, cable radio, satellite, CD, MP3. You know, they don't care how they get it. They just know they want it, and they want it here, and they, you know, this is where I want it, how I want it, when I want it. And they're not hung up on all that other crap. So, you know, I'm telling you right now, if you had a really, really, something that was really, really, really hot, well, for Christ's sakes, look at this, ringtones on phones.
You know, now, $24 million last year people spent on that.
Well, just this frog thing. You know, this didn't start with 55-year-old people like you and me to make it hot. It was the number one song in Europe, right?
Yep.
On the charts. I mean, my God.
Well, now, the passion, when you've said a couple of times something about, that's really cool, and you're excited about that, does it seem to you, I mean, I'm trying to remember the last time somebody, you know, said, wow, that's really cool, have you heard about this, and they were talking about something on the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, now, maybe that's just a cycle, and the buzz now is somewhere else, and it'll come back, but boy.
I think there's a few out there, but there's, I don't think that, it's not that people don't still feel it or whatever, but it's not, you know, it's lost its sort of hip place because we're not, you know, let's face it, every day you get bombarded with gazillions of images and sounds and everything to try and get your attention, you know, buy me, do this. Think this, look this way, all that kind of stuff.
Is that the stuff that when I hit my fast forward on TiVo that I'm missing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you're driving and all that kind of stuff. But the reality of it is we as an industry have not been out there saying, we're as cool as XM. Let me show you why. We're not telling our story. I mean, people still use the product. They still go to it. They still, you know, I tell our guys, and Chuck mentioned it, and he's absolutely right. XM isn't, we shouldn't be doing stuff that worrying about XM. XM should be looking at what we're doing because we're providing stuff that only we can provide. You know, we're still the ones that can only provide or that are providing the local stuff with any relevancy. I mean, let's play to our strengths. You know, we're not, broadcasting is a misnomer anymore.
Do we need to go back and find all those local news guys we fired and
yep.
hire them back?
Here's what we're doing. Here's one of the things we're looking at is we're going back and saying, wait a minute, we stripped everything out of our music formats years ago because it wasn't, you know, and you and I had those discussions. Well, we can't run this. It's got to be 30 seconds. It's got to be a minute. It's got to be this. I believe we need to be able to look at our products and say, what can we provide that our audience wants in a today kind of fashion? And if that means that we go back to doing news on the hour, but that news is relevant to the audience, then you know what? That's what we ought to be doing. And again, it's not about, you know, anything other than pay attention. What is it that your audience wants, and are you delivering it? Because if you're not, they're not going to come no matter how cool you look or any of that kind of stuff. If you aren't relevant in their lives, you're gone. And it used to be, you know this, we watched three channels, and they told us what we were going to watch on Sunday night. The networks told us what we would watch. Because you had three choices, and that was it. They told you what kind of shows you were going to get every season, and all that kind of stuff. Well, those days are gone. And now it's about what I select. And there's a shift I see. And I think television, over-the-air television, network television needs to start paying attention, so does radio.
Wow. I was going to ask you for my last question, if you could, here in 2005, look just five short years down the road and describe what broadcasting might look like. I think you may have already done that. Can you think of any element of this that I have failed to ask about?
Well, the one thing I will tell you is, I look down the road and I see a hybrid, but the bigger question is it 5 years, is it 10 years, or is it 15? That's the big element. It is going to change. You know, we are going to have, as sure as FM radio came and had a place next to AM, wireless, you know, delivery systems is coming, and content is going to be king again, and it's going to be important. The question that I can't see and I keep asking is, at when? You know, is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? I don't know. I'm reasonably sure that it won't be as quick as I think it will, and it probably won't take as long as others tell me. So, you know, in 2010, what do I see? I see a renewed emphasis universally on the product that we're delivering, which is terribly exciting to me. I see a beginning of a wireless delivery method in which radio, just like your HD and over-the-air signal, are gonna start to blend, so you're only going to have one, but it's still considered TV. I think you'll start to see that happen with radio, where the delivery system will be a couple of different ways. You can get it from terrestrial base or from that magic, you know, wireless spot in the sky. Again, I don't think the user cares. And I think that there have to be a place for those that are early adapters and those that aren't. Because here's a scary thought that I never think about until somebody reminds me. Today, there are people that do not have internet access.
Lots of them.
And I never think of that. And what will happen is, and here's a bigger question, do we as a society start to split for those that are versus those that are not? And then do you choose where you want to play, or do you play in both arenas? I don't know. It's a question that I get pretty smug and start thinking that the world is going to go digital and we're all going to be wireless and walking around with headsets on. And then I realize that there's a whole lot of people out there that don't have connection to the internet. And I'm walking around connected to a BlackBerry like it was, you know, like everybody is.
Well, you know, I promised your assistant that I would not let this go on long because you've got a lot of stuff going on. You know, this interview is not going to air on any of our networks. It's, as far as I know, not going to air on any radio station, any place. The only place that this wonderfully interesting chat with you will air is on my personal blog. Have you done a blog-only interview before?
No.
And it's so easy. I mean, this is so much fun.
And send me how to get there and all that stuff.
Yeah, I will. I'll send you the link, and it'll be up here in 10 or 15 minutes, which is one of the exciting things to me. People talk about local news, and gosh, well, you know, should radio stations be recording an entire city council meeting audio and putting that on their website? I tell folks, you know, if they don't do that, or even if they do, the city council is going to do that, or some citizen's going to do that, or 100 citizens are going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Citizens journalism is exploding everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and I think smart broadcasters will figure out a way to tap into that, or they will be totally disintermediated by it, at least on the news side. So.
Yeah. Well, and there's, you know, my husband, we talked about having at one time, having roving reporters with digital cameras and wireless, you know, filing of news stories and all this, and went, you know, how cool. What a great place. I mean, how neat. And it can be done.
Well, last weekend, Sheryl Crow was in Kennett, Missouri, which is my hometown, for a dedicated, she gave him some money for a swimming pool. And so I went down with my little camcorder and digital camera, and I mean, well before the TV guys, I think, got back to their studios and cut up their video, I had the news conference online. So, I mean, it's just so easy to do now. And I think that's a great opportunity for radio stations. So.
The biggest challenge is going to be, because we've stripped out so much, so many layers within radio stations and gotten so efficient.
Yeah, is the Audio Vault guys going to do this for us? I don't think so.
Well, here's the thing, is are we going to have somebody, those thinkers of great thoughts, and somebody internally that's going to be working on this? You know, are the Clear Channels of the world doing R&D? I don't know. Because that's what it's going to take, but
yeah.
we'll have to have another discussion about that.
All right, put on your calendar for 5 years from now.
All right.
You know, that I'll be calling you about this same time.
Cool.
Hey, thank you so much. This was so much fun. I'll send you a link here in a little bit.
All righty.
All right.
Hey, good talking to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.